Welcome to Souls Harbor Church. We're glad you're here. You can also join us in person at 2601 North Meridian in Wichita, Kansas. We have services at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. We are a place of grace and a Bible-believing Pentecostal church where everyone is welcome to come and experience God. On behalf of Pastor Clark and all of us at Souls Harbor, I invite you to come and worship the Lord with us. I know you'll be blessed. Now let's join the service.
Father, in the name of Christ, I pray this morning that you be with us. Lord, as I've already prayed, but God, I really need your help.
Bless
I ask
him,
you,
Lord.
To,
bless
I ask
God.
You just to use me, Father.
Father, in Jesus'
my
name.
My God, use my faculties, use
oh,
my
God,
abilities, use whatever I've
glory.
Got, Lord. Magnify it that Father. The people might be blessed in Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Tarnished gold. You know, on top of a little case that we've got where we put whatnots, we've got a silver tray, pure silver, and it has a silver tea pitcher and a silver sugar bowl and a silver creamer, and it's just beautiful when it's not tarnished. Now, it's still valuable to the owner, but it's tarnished. It's really not fit for use right now. I would be embarrassed for my wife to serve someone with this tray because it's been sitting so long and it's been idle for so long that it's tarnished. Do you understand what I mean? It's tarnished. I want you to turn to Lamentations chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2, or you can just look at the screen. How has the gold become dim? Now, this is Jeremiah writing. Jeremiah is crying. That's what Lamentations is all about. He's really sad about this. How has the gold become dim? How has the most fine gold changed? The stones of the sanctuary are poured out on top of every street, and the precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold, how are they esteemed as earthen pitchers and the work of the hands of the potter? Jeremiah contrasts the dismal condition of the present Jewish nation with their prosperous state of affairs in former times. It's still the same people. It's still the same nation of Israel. It's still those that are serving God. But they've backed off. And I really appreciate what you said this morning about Pentecost has backed off. We don't worship God like we used to. We don't get excited about the Lord. I want to tell you, God is somebody to be excited about. But we've become tarnished. We're still valuable to God. But we're not useful to him because we're tarnished. Jeremiah was comparing the nation of Israel to the native gold from the mine which has become tarnished. Even the fine sterling gold that which was stamped out to make it current has changed or been adulterated so as no longer to be passable. And this he applied to the fallen priests and the apostate prophets of that time. The books of Lamentation and Ecclesiastes are a book of groans and a book of moans or lamentations. God put them there because both groans and lamentations are a part of our lives. It happens within us. This morning, I want to cry a little bit. I want to cry over the condition of the churches in the United States today. Folks, we don't want to fall into that pattern. We need to get on our knees before God. I spent a long time in prayer this morning before God, and just he just impressed this on my heart. We need to get back to where we were. The gold question and stability of our money are questions that concern us today. Strength that seems certain today diminishes tomorrow. We read in the book of Judges how Samson had become tarnished. Now, Samson was a man chosen of God. He was God's choice to be the judge over the nation of Israel. Very prestigious. But it says in chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, "And then went Samson to Gaza," and I'm going to skip the bad part, and jump over to verse 2, "and it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him in." That is, they surrounded him. They laid a trap for him. "And they laid wait for him all night in the gates of the city, and were quiet until all night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay until midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gates of the city, and the two posts, jerked them out of the ground, put them up on his shoulder, and went away with them, bar and all, put them on his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of the hill that is before Hebron." Samson was a man through whom the Holy Spirit worked. Samson was someone, but he had become tarnished. There's things in his life that weren't right. Judges 14 says that then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnah, and came to the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion roared, and Samson, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would a kid, and he had nothing in his hands, but he told not his father nor his mother what he had done. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, and he was able to kill that lion with his bare hands. The Bible says he rent him. Now, to me, that means he tore him apart, literally, because not of his strength, but because the Spirit of the Lord. Samson was a man to be admired. He was strong. He was muscular, possibly good-looking because the ladies liked him. But more than that, he was God's man of the hour. He was the man that God chose to judge his people Israel. But his gold had become tarnished. The Hebrews were exalted above all the nations. Romans 3:2 says that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Just as the Hebrew nation was exalted over all people, Jerusalem was exalted over all the cities of that time. Please note, though, that God gives us talents or ability and will quickly take them away. Jeremiah saw Jerusalem as the very pinnacle of privilege and declares the precious sons of Zion comparable to gold. Five times, though, in chapter 1 of Lamentations, count them. Five times Jeremiah noted that Jerusalem's cries for help after her fall went unanswered. Why did they go unanswered? Because their gold was tarnished. Because their witness was tarnished, their testimony. The scripture said there is none to comfort her in verse 2, verse 9, verse 16 and 17, and verse 21 of the first chapter of Lamentations. The city had turned from the protective care of her God to pursue foreign alliances and lifeless idols. Now, at the time that she needed help, she didn't get it, because her gold was tarnished. Solomon made a statement that's pertinent to this, and I'll get down to the meat of this in just a moment. Bear with me. In Ecclesiastes 11:9, Solomon said, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know this, that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. I want to tell you, folks, we can go so far with God. We can push God just so far, and he'll say, that's enough. We can't go any farther. I want to tell you that Pentecost started back around the turn of the century. People began to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. People began to speak in tongues. People were healed. People were slain in the Spirit. Evangelistic meetings broke out. The Azusa Street meeting went on for years in Los Angeles. Thousands of souls were saved. And the person that started that revival was a black man. Oh, for shame. Hey, that's God's child. And he was doing God's work. And he did it because he submitted to the will of God. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Solomon wrote something else, and I really like this one. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain in the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves and grinders cease, because there are few, those that look out of the windows be darkened. He's talking about a young man's life, how that he goes through these things, and there's coming a time of reckoning. Let me go on down to verse 6, and it says, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return unto God from whence it came, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. And then Solomon in verse 6 says, vanities. Verse 8 said, vanity. All is vanity, saith the preacher. Solomon had lost the glimmer of fame. He had declared all was vanity. Solomon had risen to the pinnacle of power and wisdom and authority in the whole world. But he had fallen. Ecclesiastes 12:13, he said, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Lot lifted up his eyes and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Samson lost something of the glory which God had given him because, like Lot, he pitched his tent toward Sodom. So many people pitched their tents in that same direction. They reached towards quick profits and exciting prominence in the world today. Let Lot married his daughters into a corrupt society, so evil and so vile that unspeakable things happened. Pushed and pressed by the angels of God, that word came to him, escape for your life, look not behind you, neither stay thou in the plain, lest thou be consumed. What may seem to be such a smart move today may be the stupidest thing you've ever done in your life. Have you ever done that? I have. Betty and I have been involved in that type of thing. We thought it was really smart, but you see, we get ahead of God. You can't get ahead of God. You got to follow him. He is the leader. He is the tractor. You're the wagon. You hitch your wagon to his tractor and you're going to be all right. Don't let your gold get tarnished. Keep it shiny, keep it bright, keep it useful for God. Jeremiah saw the destruction of Israel. He saw the rulers that they had forgotten God was their greatest king. The enemy had invaded the land. The people were carried away captive. Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was in ruins. Why? Because the people let their gold become tarnished. The gold of their soul, the gold of their witness, the gold of their service towards God. Elements among us today in this world seem hell-bent on leading us to provoke God to anger. This what happens when the nation in which we live does these things, it'll happen just like it did to Israel in Jeremiah's day. I want to tell you that the United States is on a downhill slide. I believe that. You say, well, no, it can't happen. It happened. Think about the cities of Berlin and Tokyo during the Second World War, when such leaders as Hitler and Tojo were leading them. They fell, and they fell hard. Think about the city of Rome. It fell because the people forgot to serve God. Their insatiable desire for vulgarity, lewdness, blasphemy, and moral filth presume upon the patience and long suffering of God today. We think it'll never happen in America, but it happened to Zion. It happened to Israel. God hates mixture. I don't know why I brought you this message this morning, but God brought it onto my heart, and I'm delivering it to the best of my ability. God hates mixture, and he stated it emphatically in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 21 through 24. How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Thy silver has become dross. Thy wine is mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious, companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come upon them. Therefore saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of my enemies. You can push God just so far. He won't go any farther. You can disobey God just so many times, and God will say, that's enough. That's enough. Don't count on the things continuing as usual. The name of Zion was the joy of the whole world in Solomon's day, but now it was a reproach in Jeremiah's day. How has the gold become dim? How is our lives beginning to grow dim? You say, "Oh, no, no, Brother Leonard, don't get..." I know that's not right, but it is right. Think about what the pastor just said to us. We don't pray like we did. We don't have the speaking in tongues. We don't have healings. How long has it been since we've had a soul saved at our altars? I told you once before, we're supposed to be fishers of men. We've become keepers of the aquarium. Our gold is getting dark. Our silver is tarnished. It's not fit for use. And how do we make it right? Get on your knees before God. Begin to follow God. Begin to do the things of the Lord. Begin to follow Him as you did when first you were saved. Remember how good it felt when you were first saved? Oh my, you were on fire for God. You were so excited about this thing of salvation. But we've lost that excitement. Our gold has become tarnished. How has the gold become thin? Dim, excuse me. Think of the proud cities that you know of that have fallen because they've turned their back on God. 1 Samuel 4, 19 and 20. The wife of Phinehas. Phinehas was the daughter or the son of Eli, one of the two brothers. And his wife was having a child. While that was taking place, the Ark of the Covenant had been captured by the Philistines and been taken because of the sins of those two boys, because Eli had allowed his two boys to do things that were unspeakable, the things that should not have ever happened. And the one son named Phineas's wife was giving birth to a child, and her husband was out in the battle and was to lose his life. And word came back to her that the ark had been taken. And she said, Ichabod. She named that child Ichabod, which means the glory of God has departed. I want to tell you something. Ichabod is still in God's vocabulary today. Ichabod means God has departed. We don't want to allow that to happen. We want to follow the pastor. We want to follow the Lord. We want to get excited about this thing of salvation. God writes Ichabod over the mantle of cultures, civilizations, nations, denominations, individuals. I don't want to be there. I don't want that to happen to me. I want to stay right with God. I want to be what He would have me to be. Samson, in all of his glory, terrifying his enemies. Now his hair was shorn. He was sightless. He was captive. He was weak. He was in torment and pain. Don't say it can't happen to you, because it can. It can happen. It can happen to America. Look around. Many people today are slaves to their own desires. They cannot break loose from them. They can't control their own hearts. Their passions are in the driver's seat, and the days are dull and full of boredom and agony. How has the goal become dim? What's going on in your life today? What's happening? I like to think of all of you as you were when you were first saved, when you were innocent babies in the Lord. I like to think about that. When God was pleased to touch your life with His presence, I like to think about the peace and the lack of discord that you enjoyed in your life at that time. I like to think about the radiance that shone on your face and on your life like a breath of spring. I want that back. I know that I don't have that anymore like I had. I want that back. I want that excitement in my life. But now, the question. The gold has tarnished. It has diminished. I want you to look at another man as I proceed to close here. This man was slain for a crime that he did not do, for a sin that he did not commit. Like a lamb, he was led to the slaughter. There is something different about him. All Christianity hinges on the things that happen next. Lonnie says he's not there anymore. Praise God he's not there. I don't know where you at, Lonnie. I really enjoyed that song. God bless you. He's not there. All Christianity rested on that fact that Jesus is not there anymore. If Christ had not risen as He said He would do, of all people we would be most miserable. Without hope, rejected, doomed to a devil's hell if Jesus had not risen from the grave. But He rose. Hallelujah. I want to tell you that He walked out of that tomb. I'm telling you that that Easter Sunday morning, and next Sunday is Easter, and I won't be here, so I'm going to talk about Easter just for a minute. On that Easter Sunday morning, there was more power in that tomb than it has ever been on the world today. I want to tell you the Shekinah glory of God was present, and that rock was rolled away, and if you were standing outside, you would have been blinded by the light that came out of that room, and Jesus stood forth in all that light, walking out. Hallelujah. He's not there anymore. He has risen. His gold is not tarnished. It's still bright and shiny. Today, it's still like it was on that day. Thank God Jesus arose, shook Himself like Samson, only different. He reached down and He took a hold of the gates of death, hell, and the grave, and He pulled them out of the ground and he put them upon his shoulder and he marched up to the top of hill of Mount Zion. My God is real. My God is victorious. My God is on the throne. My God is all powerful. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! I love the Lord. I tell you, listen to what I'm saying. God said it. I'm repeating it. If God be for us, who can be against us? Isn't that wonderful? If God be for us, no force in heaven or hell can affect us, can hold us back, can deter us. Thank God. Stand to your feet with me, please. Has your gold tarnished? Has your testimony began to diminish? Think of the peace and lack of discord that was in your life when you first enjoyed God, when you first come to know Him as your Savior. God said to Israel, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. Hosea 13:9. I want to tell you this morning that your help is in Jesus. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. There is no other foundation laid but that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. It is Jesus. It is Jesus. It is Jesus. Somebody asked me one day, he said, what do you preach? I said, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Nothing more, nothing less. It's Christ. It's Christ. It's Christ. Bow your heads, please.
Thanks for joining us here at Souls Harbor Church. We hope you've enjoyed spending time with us and hearing the Word of God. We invite you to come and join us live for the service and be part of all that God is doing here at Souls Harbor. Be sure to check back each week for our latest sermons. In the meantime, be blessed in Jesus' name.